Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading from Matthew 6, 24 to 34. I share with you again this final verse, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This is our text. Dear friends, our children's message this morning illustrated the importance of the order of things. You know, in a recipe for cooking, or if you're assembling something new that you just got, the order in which you do things makes a big difference. This text comes from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is talking about how God's ways, however, seem to be backwards from our usual way of doing things. Although actually what he's pointing out is that it's our ways that are backwards. Today's readings refer to creation, when God did things in order and made an orderly creation, but things became disorderly, we know, when Adam and Eve decided not to do things God's way, but to do things their own way. And like little children who insist on dressing themselves, they ended up with everything inside out and backwards. Now, because humans are fallen, upside down, we tend to see things backwards, especially in the ways that we look at God. People think being good is what makes God love us, rather than understanding that it's God's love for us that makes us good. People think they're saved by choosing to believe in God, rather than understanding that it's God choosing them that brings them to faith. People think that God promises to give them whatever they pray for, rather than understanding that Christians pray for what it is God has promised to give us. Our text reminds us that God gives us many wonderful gifts. The problem is that in our homes, the more things we have, the bigger mess it ends up being when things are out of order. It's both a practical and a spiritual problem. Just this last week, as I was studying this text, I happened to read an article by Peter Lee. He happens to be a Presbyterian professor at a seminary in Washington, D.C. I'm just going to read this for you. He says, "Consider this thought. A strategic method of Satan in America is to engage in a silent war, one that is so subtle the church can easily forget its true nature and the identity of their true enemy. In other words, one way in which the evil one persecutes the church in America is by not persecuting the church in America. Allow the American dream of prosperity to dominate the values of the average Christian. Provide a way so they can indeed achieve success as a result of their years of education, hard work, and countless hours spent in their professional area of expertise. Their success is then seen not as a blessing that results from the Lord's sacrifice, but as a result of their own sacrifice. Then, give them a craving for more success that can only come by working even harder. Let them focus on these things as the goal of their lives and lose focus on the central doctrines of grace. Let them lose perspective of the greater homeland that awaits them and become more interested in their own domestic concerns. Notice how God is slowly yet methodically removed from the consciousness of the church. At best, he is viewed as the means to a greater end, which is by definition idolatry. At worst, he is effectively absent in the daily life of the Christian. God has not given any recognition for the blessed life that we have. Satan has achieved his goal, sever the individual from the reality of God in life, and lull the church into a state of complacency. And he has done it so passively and silently." This article, I believe, like our text, highlights two related problems, both that we think we have to take care of what we have, and that we think that that is what's taking care of us. As we look at our text, we see that we can be slaves of things that are meant to serve, but that we want instead to be servants of God's kingdom, and this happens because we are provided for by God in His kingdom. But let's think first about how it can happen that we end up being slaves of things that are meant to serve. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was speaking these words to poor Galilean peasants who probably had reasons to worry about whether they were going to have the food or clothing they needed for tomorrow because they barely had enough for today. Well, now that we have insurance and Social Security and government welfare programs and retirement plans, etc., we should be much more worry-free. And yet we tend to have what you can call first world problems. We say, what shall we wear? Because the closet is so full, we can't decide. We say, what shall we eat? Because the refrigerator and the cupboard are full of things that we already had just yesterday. We in our culture end up, I believe, being even more stressed than people back then. Because, you know, in that day, people worked from sun up till sundown.